This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 302 of the Countdown Podcast, where we invite you to enter the house of shitty films. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast with Countdown Movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And as Wayne has once again adroitly summarized, today is one of the big shows of the year because it's looking back at last year, anus horribilis
yes.
that it was, and further shitting on 2020 by naming and shaming the worst 10 films released last year.
That's right.
Now, this may prove a challenge to Wayne, who last week, in trying to talk about TV from 2020, managed to talk about TV from 2015, 2018, and 2017.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, eat my balls. Punk-ass bitch. Only you would know the years, too, you punky bitch.
Punky bitchster?
Punky asshole, yeah.
Anyway, so, Wayne, just briefly.
Yes.
We all acknowledge how horrendous 2020 was, thanks large effect to coronavirus, which still ravages the world.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find the films overall? Nick, this week, of course, being the worst, next week being the best.
I thought I would have very few to talk about, as I tend to avoid bad films. And I looked over all the stuff we did, and then I did search out some potentially bad films.
Excellent.
Which is important. And in the end, I thought I wouldn't have enough. I actually have almost 20.
Dishonorable mentions.
Dishonorable mentions. I maybe like 15 at least. So there's a lot, and they swapped around too, because I didn't know which ones I hated more. But I tell you this. The list starts with movies that should have been good that disappointed me.
Yeah.
And it ends up with movies so bad they offend you.
Yeah. Well, so absolutely. I guarantee a trademark Paul rant or three.
Mm-hmm.
This particular episode, I will be incensed at least two or three times. And if Wayne doesn't have my one on his list, I will beat him with the back of my penis.
I bet you I probably don't. I just say, you know, who knows?
Video available on YouTube shortly. All right, then, without any further ado, then let's get into the show proper with a segment that we call The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The Recount is where we listen to y'all. What happened, Paul?
Well, feedback from last week's show, as mentioned, the best and worst of television. Wayne, boy, you copped some shit.
Yeah, I did.
Particularly around your choice to suggest that Cobra Kai, not even season two or three. Well, season two, that was in 2020.
Yeah, it was season two, yeah.
Was terrible. At least didn't grab you.
Didn't grab
me.
Was
disappointing. Boy, Jon Snow, aka Julio for the Contrarians, gave you the Fozzie Bear slap forehead gif. He wasn't alone.
Uh-huh.
Chris Sutherland, particularly incensed, has started the hashtag Boycott Wayne for 2021.
Yeah, as I said on Facebook, it sounds a lot like inciting sedition to me. I'm just saying, I didn't think our people were like that, but okay, man.
Then Rob Walters said he's more of a TV guy than a movies guy, so particularly enjoyed last episode. Really wanted to shout out our love for Ted Lasso, which we've both since seen the end of
and yeah.
can confirm it does nail the ending.
Fucking A. Great, great, so great ending.
Do check it out. I must listen to that theme song about 4 million times.
I really love that you put it on the end of the last episode. It was like, frickin'. Yeah, just I was hoping to hear it.
Great, great song, great show. Do check it out. Now, Rob said, Hunters is in the worst is tricky for sure. I enjoyed it. Weird moments and tone at times, but it was different and I liked it.
Yeah, I agree. That's why it stayed out of mine.
Now, he also said, What We Do in the Shadows is a tough one for me. Great movie, but it didn't work for me in the TV show. So I gave that a recommend, but there's some perspective another way. And finally, Schitt's Creek was too much for me. I watched about a season and a half because of word of mouth and it just did not work for me at all. Which again proves different strokes.
Absolutely. I'm still going with it as well. So, and same with Cobra Kai, by the way. I've only seen three episodes. I'm going to come back to you when I finish
it up. Wayne judges a show based on the three. Oh, well, that's it. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, we all do that, motherfucker. So eat my balls.
And finally, to wrap up this week's recount, this comes from Mike Seibert. I heard Wayne briefly mention Yellowstone as a show he liked this year.
Mm.
Anyone else here watch it? My wife and I binged all three seasons and we're very mixed on it. She loves it, and I absolutely hate it.
But I think if you saw and binged three seasons, you didn't hate it that much.
Well, the characters are aggressively unlikable, and I have no idea who to root for. I mean, I'm all for morally ambiguous shows, but this one just hits me wrong. But then I realize Kevin Costner is actually the villain. Is
really?
That true, Wayne?
I've only seen one season. Well, most of one season, so I couldn't tell you.
After one season, do you get that feeling?
No, I still love Kevin Costner. I think he's like, well, from what I've seen anyway, I respect his old man gruffness.
Okay.
So, you know, who knows? But hey, now I'm going to see the whole thing. So if that happens, is that a thing? Is that an internet thing? I don't know, man.
I don't know.
It's kind of cool.
I've never seen an episode.
If so, I'm a little down with this. Or maybe it's just the arc of the character. But either way, good show.
All right. So there we are. Thank you, Mike, for your feedback on that particular topic. Thank you all for your feedback. That'll do for this week's recount. Let's get into it. This is a big one.
Big one.
The worst 10 films of 2020 on the other side of this. Probably shit house music cue. Films of 2020.
Gritty, I do like it.
It is the topic of this week's countdown. Wayne?
You're going to be offended and pissed off at this list.
Really?
Or I think you'll just have some problems with it, and I'm going to enjoy that. So, you know, if you think you're ranting now.
Oh, boy. All right, well, who wants to go first this week and first next week?
I don't know.
Who's your lead away? All right, I'll do it this week.
Yeah, you go this week.
And I'll then reveal my number one next week last. My number 10 is a film, Wayne, which I think you might be surprised to hear on this list. I know at least a couple of listeners of the podcast, good friend to the show, David Powell.
Actually, my asshole is clenching. Actually, I'm very excited about this.
Peculiar reason defends this absolute piece of shit. I'm talking The New Mutants.
Oh, yeah, that's on my list.
It is good.
Fucking amen.
Good.
The Mutants sucks.
Oh, God. It's so boring.
It's so boring, and it's like, I mean, we talked about this, I guess. It's supposed to be a horror movie. I figured that out really late. I was like, this is just shit.
That in and of itself is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, but then when you start, the lead girl is the worst actress. I don't know her name. I'm not going to do her a disservice, but trust me, it blows. Sure, it could be
the script.
She was
terrible.
But it was really came off to look like balls, and it was just disastrously dull. It's just dull. Looks like a TV series pilot that was dull.
That's actually the perfect description. This is one of the most dullest piece of shit films that you could possibly imagine. Her name is Blue Hunt, by the way.
Blue Hunt.
Yeah, played Danielle Moonstar.
Blue
Moonstar!
I got it.
No one else has.
Not one. No, they do. They get the Spaceball reference. It's fine. Yeah. All right. So, yes. No, I agree.
I hated the fact that they sat on this for so long. We'll make it better. No, he won't. Kevin Feige says it's fine. Kevin Feige didn't give two fucks about this.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this shit. The whole on my X-Men fucking list. Yeah.
Bullshit canon / timeline. We're starting again.
He just needed to get it out. Yeah. I would have done the same thing, man.
It's what kind are you of do? It. This film feels like the rectal equivalent of, you know, you've just had that shit brewing for too long, and it just needs to come out.
Well, that would be the rectal equivalent, surely. I know what you mean. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see.
You got for too long.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just sitting right there all night, right? You've had a few more beers. You're like, maybe it'll help it out. It didn't help it out. You had to go to bed. You wake up in the morning. It's all very heavy still. And you're like, geez, I need a cigarette and a ciggy butt and a fucking coffee.
Coffee,
yeah. And it still hasn't come out. But then the New Mutants punches out of your ass.
Then Kevin Feige says, go for it.
Kevin Feige goes, mate, sphincter, you've got the green light. Yep. Boom. Yeah, it was pretty harsh. And so was this description.
Not funny. No, description was. Not funny, the film. Not at all thrilling. Not horrific.
And no window personality.
Boring. And boring. Cheap as fuck. The New Mutants is my 10 worst film of 2020.
My. If that's your 10th, old man, then...
Hold on to your hats.
Yep, the pearlers must be coming. All right, people.
Or your headphones in this case.
Exactly. In my case, my number 10 was a film called Doolittle.
Never saw it, but have heard it's terrible.
Let me tell you about this thing, right? Now, so first of all, Robert Downey Jr. is, you could argue, the biggest star in the world, sort of. Like, Avengers is the biggest movie in the world. He was the lead of that.
He's definitely up there.
He's right up there, okay? So he's, like, obviously got a green, like a blank check. He's like, I'll just do whatever, and I'll produce it myself. Wicked, wine, fine. He does this. It's weird, dude.
Do you think he took that too literally? I'll do whatever. Maybe I'll just do little.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Okay, bit of work. Bit of work, but it worked out. Okay, it's fine. This movie is...
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time.
I eat my balls with this shit. Fuck you.
Every time.
It's some bullshit. That means nothing. Had nothing to do with what we're talking about. You fucking can't. All right, fine.
I think what you're trying to say is.
You're killing me.
You suck my dick.
Back to you.
Oh, Jesus, what a pitch. Anyway, sorry. This movie is bloated and tedious, okay? It has a lot of talking animals in it, as you might imagine, all right? It's got Antonio Banderas is the bad guy. And a lot of the animals are like Tom Holland and fucking Craig Robinson.
So,
and
like, you know, recognizable famous people.
Lots of them are. And that's probably where all the budget went. Because this bad boy tanked, right?
And it was out before coronavirus too, so it's got no excuses. I know.
And you know what happened? Robert Downey Jr. is doing a... You know Sherlock Holmes, he does the English accent. He's doing a version of that here, but it's a more brogue kind of... Like, it's a different, or it's a harsher sort of English accent. And the effect of it is that it's just unintelligible. He says something unintelligible, it doesn't work. It's not...
You switch the subtitles on.
Literally, I've done that. I've done that a bunch of times. And I went, this is some shit. So it's just a really bad move. And although I will tell you this, it's not offensively bad. It's just really boring. And it drags on and on and on.
Right.
And anyway, there's a very good song by Sia towards the end, over the end credits. That is the best thing about this movie. It's quite inspirational. Yeah, but that's it. That's it, man. Sounds unpleasant, incoherent.
Terrible.
It's a piece of shit.
All right, well, my number 9, don't have to go back too long. Just go back. Now, I'm cheating a little bit here.
Mm.
This film technically was released in Australia on 1st of January 2021.
You know, I don't stand on ceremony, Paul. It's all
yours. We saw it thanks to an advanced screening.
It counts. It was available in 2020.
Just before Christmas.
There you go. I don't care, Paul.
Monster Hunter. Jeez, it's fucking terrible.
Made your worst of the year? Yeah. I didn't think it was that bad.
Again, I want to remind the listeners who may have not listened to the reviews, because a lot more of you listen to the countdowns than the reviews. Wayne actually fell asleep in this movie.
Yeah, okay. I didn't say it was good.
Not on his worst 10 of the year.
No. I fall asleep a lot, man.
Not in the cinema.
No, it happens a lot.
Not 10 minutes into the film.
Look, I'm very self-centered, and when something isn't about me, I tend to fall asleep.
That would be every film, wouldn't it?
I know. It's surprising.
Anyway, point being, if Wayne fell asleep and I sat there with this sneer of disdain that turned into disgust through the course of this film, like... They don't give a fuck. Paul W.S. Anderson should be barred from making films except in the privacy of his own home. He can do whatever fuck he wants there. But it should not be just stop giving him money. More importantly, stop spending money on his films so they stop giving him money. Please, I beg of you all.
I'll bet you he's got a hot wife clause in his contract with that studio. And it's like, it's cool, I'm putting Miller in there, and she made like a bank like once. So
the Resident Evil films made a lot of money, particularly around the world, not so much in the States.
So the accounting people are like, let him do what he wants.
Yeah, anyway, it remains to be seen. I cannot imagine this being anything other than an abject failure, because it is the most one-note simplistic script with the most one-note characters, with the most uninspiring action, other than sometimes the monsters look pretty good. I have heard from read a couple of responses on Twitter from absolute mad fans of the game that, nah, man, this is good because I had this monster and that monster.
Yeah,
so maybe it's appealing to the fan base.
Which I can't see being big enough to support a movie like this. But anyway.
But for you and
who knows?
You never even heard of the game. Nope. I had at least heard of it. It is train wreck of a film.
You know what's happening here? This is your wheelhouse, this kind of monster, not horror, but some fuck around type shit, right? And then, you know, I'm sure you liked it that most people died, but like if you didn't, if it wasn't handled well.
You know what I like?
What?
When I come to care about characters, ironically.
Yes.
And then you want them to live, but some of them still die.
Sadistic, oddness.
This film, it's like, can we just move on, please?
Cap this guy.
Now that everyone's been capped, can we move past the 20 minutes of fighting where it just shows Mila Jovovich can't fight the same way that Tony Jaa can fight? Enough already, please, dear God. And what about...
The last
20 minutes of this film, other than a pretty cool battle scene, which I will give the biggest props to, are borderline the worst 10 minutes of film I saw this year.
Why? Because of the plot, because of the way it was actioned?
How ridiculous. Just completely went, everything you've just seen, who cares? Leap at the camera. freeze frame, sequel, yay!
Oh, you're talking about the very end.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. They left it open on purpose because that's,
It's so...
Because why wouldn't you?
I can't put it into it. In fact, a lot of these films we did a feature review on. This one we did. Go back and hear our full thoughts on it if you're at all interested after this. And steer well the fuck clear.
Yeah. Monster Hunter.
Yep.
Fair enough. My number 9, I don't know how you'll feel about this, and I don't know how the folks will feel about this, but I really thought hard about it, and it's Wonder Woman 1984.
I get it. Yeah. It's very disappointing. And when you said that the bottom of my list is disappointing films, this definitely qualifies.
This should have been at least as good as number 1, man. I mean, the sequels really aren't, and we've definitely done a whole review on this one, definitely, but whole thing is too long, not great dialogue, shitty villain, squishy bullshit movie rules. The rules, that's the biggest thing that gives us up. And in this movie, the whole thing is that the fish out of water that happened in the first movie is reversed. So back then it was Chris Pine.
That was fine.
But he was the fish out of water because it was the Island of Hooers. And then this movie,
No.
No, sorry.
He's the fish out of water now.
That's right.
Because she's
sorry, you're right, you're right. World. She was the fish out of water because he brought her to the real world. There you go. Sorry, yes. And that's not enough here.
That was fine.
I mean, it was fine. And I did like them as a couple, but geez, it took a long time to show me their love. Sorry, like, you know,
excessively
shit.
Long, excessively poor villains, excessively cheesy, lack of action scenes, excessively poor CGI.
Yeah.
And most importantly, the shittest, I call it threat.
Mm.
You're saying squishy rules. I'm talking around it as well. Brand new, not going to spoil.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It's fucking awful.
Yeah, and the avatar they used to bring Steve back. All right,
don't get that's.
I won't, but I'll tell you the low regard that the hero characters have for that person is just doesn't fit.
It's off putting.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you know,
and Patty Jenkins, I read somewhere, set out to make a film where nobody dies. No one.
My God, Paul's blood runs cold. Ironically, yeah.
Yet she also made a film where someone can be basically raped. So I'm not sure, Patty, you're really resting on the high ground here.
The point is it's poorly conceived. Like
very,
so, yeah.
Very poorly and with some mind-bogglingly poor decisions made at the script level.
Yeah. I will tell you this, though. I've decided that I don't mind her using her lasso to lasso lightning and swing through the air. I know.
That makes one of us.
I know. There you go. So a lot of people didn't feel that way, but there you are. Wonder Woman 84.
Yep, fair enough.
Not really.
So that was your...
Number
nine.
My
number eight is a film which I threatened would be the worst film of the year. Sadly, I was seven times wrong. Way back in, I think late January or even early February last year, I'm talking about Roland Emmerich's Midway.
Ah, I almost put this on here. I was listening to our review because I fucking forgot everything about it, right? I get it. We didn't like this movie.
No,
it was not good.
I hated it more than you, though.
Yes, I think I enjoyed the missile view. The thing. That was kind
of
cool.
There was a couple of Roland Emmerich-y type shots that kind of helped.
It didn't save it at all.
But it's just, again, if you don't draw up reasonable characters that you can align with, you don't give two shits when they start to die. And this is this bloodless PG-13 war epic, which just to me undermines the effectiveness of those scenes as well. Super CGI,
yeah,
super shit. Fuck the guy, who's the main guy, the bad guy from Deadpool? What's his name?
Ed Skrein. Yeah,
Skrein, whatever.
Skrein, whatever.
Is.
Yeah.
Oh God, he's bad in this movie.
No, but it's also a shit sort of like he's. Because he's the ace pilot dude, cracker dude, right?
Lieutenant Richard Dick Best.
Dick Best.
I'm sure he is Dick Best.
He probably is. I mean, he was Dario Naharis. But I mean, look, I didn't mind the whole chewing gum and putting on the thing that's my good luck thing and stuff like that. And again, I didn't mind it as much as you, but I acknowledge that it was like, we were both going, what the fuck, when we walked out of this? Something went really wrong with it. Like, it just went... Like
you just didn't care.
Yeah, you didn't care. That was
about
the problem
the
with
characters,
the movie. And it was a real. Was
and the fact that you know it's
story.
A real. Well, yeah, I'm not sure how much the end
exactly.
part is real.
Of course, it's dramatized.
It's based on obviously the attack on Pearl Harbor, and you know that's a real thing. And I should be tense and worried about
exactly.
this. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you know, Michael Bay made a better film
with Pearl Harbor.
With Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, it did. I've never minded Pearl Harbor, but that's me. U-571, that's a kind of a movie like this that works.
I'd rather watch U-571.
Absolutely,
again.
I think that's great. I think it's a great movie.
Way better. This is just terrible from not conception. I'm sure on paper it seemed like a good idea, but in execution, it's a terrible film.
The whole World War II thing, okay? Like everyone trots that out every now and then, and it becomes a thing and stuff like that. I personally have never been a fan of like
you're a bit over it.
Is
that why Saving Private Ryan was number 7th best war of all time?
May have been. It's also why I don't play Call of Duty anymore. There you are. So, okay, I see.
Yeah.
Midway, fair enough.
That's my 8.
Right, my number 8 might piss a few folks off because this movie was, in fact, the highest grossing movie of 2020.
Sonic?
Bad Boys for Life.
I thought Sonic beat.
That's what I thought, but I'm looking at a thing here and it's not even, where are we?
This is a terrible decision.
This is a great decision.
Regardless of whether it's number 1 or 2, because I think it is.
Sonic was number 2. Sonic. Oh, okay. This one did 206 million. Sonic did 146 million.
I reckon that's domestic. You haven't got the international.
Probably. I'm using Wikipedia here. Yep. But that's not really the point. The point is that movie can suck my dick. This movie was... Now, Paul makes mention of this. This was one of my most anticipated movies. If not my most anticipated.
Hence disappointed. Yeah.
Hence my disappointment is large, that you know the expanse is big. But my issues with this movie is that weird things happen in this film. I expected it to be at least as good or close to as good. And by that I mean funny or interesting as Bad Boys, the first one, the two. But even this,
unduly
like,
harsh.
Dude, it Martin Lawrence looks like he's fucking about to die the whole movie, all right? So it's very hard for that. All his barbs don't work as well. There's a couple jags here and there, and I did laugh maybe twice when they smacked the dude or he had a lump on his head and Martin Lawrence had to touch it. I still think it was a bit clumsy, but at least it gave me the chance to laugh. But no other gags are as funny as that in this film. Will Smith being in his 50s, the thing that happens in this film, and I won't spoil it, right?
Yeah.
Just, I thought it was like a dream sequence. I'm like, that. Are they doing this? And then they're trying to come back from that and make the rest of the action in the film work when this thing happened? I'm like, come on, people. Come on.
By contrast, I think this film was totally and utterly fine.
What a bitch.
I was entertained. I had zero expectations for it. I couldn't believe it was on your most anticipated of the year.
Yeah.
I had fun in this movie. It was ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. It's not a great film, but I had fun. I enjoyed myself. The action set pieces were pretty good.
Is it at least the worst of the three?
I loved the score.
Come on.
I have to watch the first two again.
Well, I think you should.
I have to watch them both again. But I think this is a worthy follow-up.
Really?
And you know what? I'd actually be down for a Bad Boys 4.
So that means all the...
Ironically, can't be for life.
Well, that's what will happen. 21 Jump Street in this movie, the ammo team that was all his crackers and stuff like that, with the young folks, and pretty...
That's
upset.
What I was setting up to be.
That's what that's going to be. Film. And then there's the ending of this movie that also leads into that. But I would imagine, sure, Martin Lawrence won't come back.
Do you reckon the next one could be Bad Boys for Beyond Life?
Bad Boys for Afterlife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, then it becomes existential, so no. How about...
Well, I'm saying they could get killed and go into heaven and stuff.
You know what? They're not doing a fourth one.
So that's
absolutely...
I've just ripped off the plot to Fast and Furious 12.
Fast and Furious. Yeah, so there you are. I didn't like this movie, but I will tell you this. You're not alone, Paul, because a lot of my cousins who enjoy the Bad Boysian movies say they quite liked this one, and then I was like, fuck y'all.
Well, I have to say this. Thank you for your last two choices, because now I have two music cues that are actually pretty good, because the music in this film is great.
Oh, music cues, maybe.
And in Wonder Woman is also great. So, and for the record, the highest grossing film from worldwide box office in 2020 was a film called The 800, a Chinese film. Made $461 million.
Oh, I was talking about white people.
Can't move faster.
Shit.
You cunt juggling thunder cunt.
I'm fine with it. Okay, so...
Can't move faster. Anyway, number two was Bad Boys for Life. Well played, sir. And number three was My People, My Homeland. And then Tenet at four.
What?
Five, Demon Slayer, the movie... Mugen Train.
The fuck
and
is that?
And six, Sonic the Hedgehog. Do you know what seven was?
What?
Your other film on your list, Doolittle.
There you go. That's how bad the year was, everyone. A sack of shit that tanked in the first part of the year is still the seventh most highest grossing movie.
Another film which came out before the pandemic. Oh, no, I won't spoil that one because maybe it'll be on someone's list.
Okay, good.
All right, cool. Well, there we are. Wayne has shat all over that one, painful as it may be. My number seven is the first non-cinema release. It's gone straight to Netflix. It's one which really tried both of our sensibilities. I'd be surprised not on your list.
Mm.
It stars Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah.
Hubie Halloween.
It's on my list.
Now, I used a GIF from Hubie Halloween on Twitter when I asked for people's feedback to be featured at the end of the Pop 10, and some people got really up in arms, including Dan, Netflix and Swill. I was like, oh, it's not even the worst Adam Sandler film from the year.
Really?
Happy Madison film from the year. I don't even know what one he was talking about. This film's garbage.
No, it's shit. It's shit, right?
It's offensively garbage.
Well, tell us what it's about. It's Hubie Halloween is some sort of seemingly possibly mentally challenged dude because he's weird and he gets, you know, he's ridiculed by people, whatever.
And he decides to defend the town from his threat on Halloween.
Because he loves Halloween. He's all about Halloween, right? And then like a dude moves next to him who's also weird but friendly, and then people start getting kidnapped and Hubie's in the middle of
killed.
Sorry. Killed, right? And then some investigation shit happens, and then the end happens, and Paul's like, saw that coming, because Paul is the Podomatic. But also...
Not even though I saw that coming. Not at all.
Didn't care.
To be fair. I'm like, it makes zero fucking sense. Yeah. And that alone wouldn't be enough to put the film in this list. Adam Sandler is a talentless hack.
Now look,
his entire character is...
No, that was the problem with this movie. He's doing that stupid
one of the problems with this film.
There's many problems with this film. It's a piece of shit,
it's
y'all.
It's not funny. It's certainly not horrific.
There's a puking scene that made me sort of go, oh, like that. Yeah, that's
right.
It,
well,
though.
Well, if you got a few laughs.
That's it.
But that's not enough. It's ostensibly a comedy.
It's not enough.
Right? And then we've talked about it before, but if a comedy fails to make people laugh, it's a goddamn piece of shit. If a horror film fails to scare people or make them uncomfortable, it's a goddamn piece of shit.
Most definitely.
If a musical makes you want to turn it off immediately, it's a goddamn piece of shit.
I see where you're going with this. Yeah, no, Huey Halloween is absolutely a turd.
Like, okay, I'll give you one scene description. That'll be enough.
Bring it.
When the love interest starts,
who's way too hot for him,
kissing the camera because she knows he's watching on a broadcast news program.
She kisses the camera. I'm trying to remember this. Yeah,
literally, like, starts tonguing it
with the camera, yeah. Like the lens,
uh-huh.
And that's broadcast. Yeah. Really, I missed that part, but it seems like it's a thing I should have remembered because it's Julie.
I mean, it's not like. But it's definitely like too much. It's not like,
oh, is it?
Not like that. Oh, it's really? Fine. It's too much.
Huh. And did it not work for you?
Oh, can you tell?
I might just go rewatch it and see how I feel about it. I'm not going to rewatch it.
I'm contemplating now because I'm like, you don't remember that? No, that was one of the most egregious moments. Maybe I'm misremembering it. Maybe I've made
it
up. I don't,
but I tend
head.
To block out painful shit. I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So there you are. Whoopah! Edit point. Paul just played me the bit that I forgot, and it's not great. It's not great.
Yeah, I want to apologize to Julie Bowen. It's not just her. It's also Adam Sandler, which...
You know, I don't know. Someone directed her to do this. I adore Julie Bowen. Oh, she's awesome. God. So, you know, there you go.
That's just a great indicative fact on how terrible this piece of shit is.
I actually forgot it.
Again,
so there you are.
Our review is available, and we can go into me getting very angry through the course of all that if you want to go back and check that out.
Nice one.
That's my number 7.
All right. My number 7 is a movie that we jokingly called Blood Shit.
Didn't make my list, but it could very well have. Oh, it's on my dishonorable mentions.
Everyone, Bloodshot is a movie that probably the last movie we saw before things went south with COVID, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's about a slain soldier, Vin Diesel, who is brought back to life as a superhero via nanotechnology. And it is, look, there's a long, big plot, but who cares? It's really shit. It's got Guy Pearce in it. It's got Vin Diesel. It's this big organization which is bringing Vin Diesel back. And he is then going away to try and avenge the death of his wife or something. And that is the basis of the Mac. Yeah, it took. Dude, I had to look this up again because I knew I watched it and I knew I hated it and I forgot everything about it. I forgot everything about it.
You could very. If it wasn't for the fact that I'd watched, you know, give or take, I should have mentioned this at the start of the show. Maybe I've watched about 190 films this year for the first time, right? Which is well down on last year's movie watching challenge. Yeah, shout out to Hendo from the movie watching. The Movie Journey podcast. By the way, Hendo, I was on the Hendo and Dean show during the week. We did a pod v pod, me versus them. Controversy abounds. You have to listen to it to hear the full
thing.
Fallout.
Gets salty, yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've missed the result of the vote, but pretty sure the vote might have gone
your way.
Anyway, point being, check out their latest episode. It's a really great time. Hendo and Dean are great guys. So,
okay.
Yes, we did the movie watching challenge last year. I watched way too many films. Of the 190, I think somewhere in the order of 135, 140 were films from 2020. So I watched a lot of films this year. Hence why Bloodshot misses the list.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. No, I got that. But look, this movie here, you can't follow the action because of shitty editing. There's mostly shitty CGI. It's a bullshitty plot. And there's shitty acting. And the idea here is that one thing I liked about it was that there's a soldier who's being the badass. And he's just a normal soldier who happens to kick ass and be very good at it. But then, of course, once it becomes like he's wicked with all the nanos in his blood and he can take it and he can get shot and stuff and he glows red and stuff, it's just shit by the end of that. And honestly, it's actually... I think Guy Pearce is above this. I think he just needs to...
We say that,
I think he wants to buy a new house. But he wants to buy a house.
But is Guy Pearce really made a name? It's not like Russell Crowe did. You know what I mean?
No, but here's the thing. You got your Guy Pearce from Memento, and you got your Guy Pearce from L.A. Confidential, which is like...
But you've also got your Guy Pearce from that movie in space with Maggie Grace, Lockout or something like that.
Yeah, look, I'm sure he gets offered a few things.
He can slum it like anyone, man.
He can. They all can. I mean, if Robert De Niro can slum it, which he's doing.
He does TV films in Australia, Jack Irish or some shit.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah. Really?
Look, I think he just wants to hang out with the kids. You know, he wants to be home for his family. I actually like Guy Pearce. I just know, like, you know, Iron Man 3? I didn't mind him at all.
We know how much you love Iron Man.
There you go. But yes, it's a piece of shit, everyone. And I recommend you never, ever see it. And I think it's setting up for a goddamn sequel.
Yeah. Well, did it make enough money? Not sure.
Not sure. But yeah, it's a bag of ass. So yeah, touch it not.
Well, just to put your mind at ease, Wayne, it made only $33 to $37 million around the world.
Really?
We contributed a fair degree of that revenue.
No kidding. Wow.
So I don't think you have to worry about a sequel, that's what I'm trying to say.
Good to hear.
All right. My number 6 is a film you would not have even heard of, Wayne, let alone seen. It's the first straight-out horror film on my list. It's a fucking bag of dicks.
Tell me why.
It's called You Should Have Left. It stars Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
And Amanda Seyfried.
Footloose is in it.
Yeah. And
it's still shit. He's usually good.
It's hard to describe how boringly bad this film is, but it basically follows He's an older dude who's really rich, mm-hmm. right? Who is kind of accused, slash a lot of people think he killed his previous wife.
Sure.
Right? And he hooks up with a younger, hotter, so Amanda Seyfried. She's an actress.
Yep.
Right? And they're
married. Always are.
Yep. And their relationship is not really working out at the moment. So they go away with their kid. They've got a daughter.
Oh, they got a daughter. Okay.
Yep. They go somewhere online and hire out this amazing place.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs however much it costs, let's say $10,000.
They're rich folks. Yeah, they're very rich. Got it.
Off they go there. Strange shit starts happening. He starts seeing things.
Mm.
Boy, oh boy. On that description alone, you can probably guess exactly the way the film goes. I want to ask you to. Right?
I probably wouldn't be able to do it anyway because I don't know the rules of this thing. And to be honest with you, as a man who already finds it bewildering that anyone likes horror, right? I'm sitting here going, okay, well, this is your cabin in the woods kind of thing. I don't know. Like, that's what it sounds like from what you said, right?
Yeah, look, fair enough. I get it. But. Like, guy who may or may not have killed his wife, start seeing things.
Do you need to spoil it to make this a good movie?
No, look, it's terrible. It's bland. It's boring. It's not at all frightening.
Did you get jump scared at all?
No.
Is it a jump scary thing?
Yeah, they try for a couple jump scares. They try for a couple of kind of atmospheric kind of, violence slowly increasing the tension type shit. It's fucking awful.
Now, the resolution of the film.
Terrible.
Terrible?
Mm-hmm.
Unsatisfying?
Yep.
Crap?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was borderline at the point, and it's directed by David Coep, who...
I know that name.
Yeah, he's directed a lot of things, but mostly written more stuff. So he was co-writer on Jurassic Park, Spider-Man, Mission Impossible, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, The Lost World, Panic Room, War of the Worlds, The Mummy, Carlito's Way.
Okay.
So he's got a big pedigree as a writer. As a director... Not so much. Like Secret Window, Premium Rush, Mordecai, Stir of Echoes, also with Kevin Bacon.
You know, Stir of Echoes is good. I like Premium Rush too. Fuck it.
Premium Rush is okay.
There's bikes and shit. It's not
worst on the year list, but this is bargain basement fucking horror. Came out premium video on demand. I think you could rent it for $5.
That fucked up then, because that guy can actually do shit. Stir of Echoes is good, man.
Just fucking garbage.
Is Kevin's performance at all, good or?
Not really. I just feel like Kevin Bacon, it feels like Kevin Bacon plays Kevin Bacon these days. He plays a guy who's older than he is, who looks a little bit younger than he is, who's wiry and lean and probably could hook a younger chick if he's rich.
Yep.
It just feels like that's all he does every time.
Because last time I saw him was, X-Men? He's that rich guy in X-Men? He's sort of the bad guy. I don't know. It's been a while. So, okay. All right. No, good to know. So, what's it called again?
You should have left. You shouldn't have fucking bothered.
There you go.
Is what it should have been called.
You shouldn't have arrived. Yeah. All right. My number six is a film that in the middle of the pandemic, I looked on a trailer and said, this is exactly the type of film I like to watch because it's about dudes being duty. Just friends hanging out and talking shit and sniping on each other. It's called Buddy Game.
Ah, it's my number four.
Oh, dude. All right, people.
I meant to say, Buddy Lou!
Well, okay, this is actor Josh Duhamel from the...
Glad you hated it this much.
Vegas, yeah.
Because we talked about doing it as a fucking...
We wanted to make it a proper review because it was so sparse movies that this one was an actual release, okay? So Josh Duhamel and then Olivia Munn, Dax Shepard, Kevin Dillon, a few other folks. The idea is, apparently he made this. It's his feature directorial debut, and you can so tell. All right? Because it was based on him and his friends who basically have these buddy games, which is a set of stupid jackass-like type events that they all have to compete for, and at the end there's a cash prize.
No, I think in the real life it's not a cash prize. It's like a trophy.
It's like a trophy. Yeah. So in the movie it's a cash prize. It's a big cash prize, okay? Through various machinations. But the problem with this film is that no one is really likable. All right, Josh Duhamel kind of is, but I don't like him that much.
No, he's not. He's not. He lies about his wealth and whatever else. He's got this really hot.
Oh, he did that. He did partner, that to make the other person.
And he's not even prepared to. Not because she's hot, but she seems like a great partner. She seems like
it's Olivia Munn.
Yeah,
she's a great fucking partner.
Yes, but let's put that aside. I know, the looks and just. The fact that she's supportive of him in all these fucking stupid endeavors and whatever else, and then when she.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, he's a prick.
You're right, he's a prick. But more importantly, the people that you're supposed to throw in with are fuckwits because they tell you they're fuckwits at the beginning. And then later on when the movie asks for sympathy, you ain't got none because they're assholes, all right? And that's how it is. Dax Shepard is probably the only sort of remotely likable character.
Oh, I would agree.
But it's so, I thought that the movie would have cool jokes about shit in it because that's in the trailer. I want shit jokes. I like shit jokes. The shit jokes were in fact not about shit, or they were, but they were actually shit jokes. So I didn't laugh, which means it's shit. So Buddy Games is just ass.
Can I
it's
read you my?
Balls.
Can I just give you my review?
Bring it.
Read my. Here's my review. 1-star review on Letterboxd. The first rule of buddy games is they should be fun. The second rule of buddy games is they should be funny. This piece of shit is neither. Loathsome characters doing loathsome things to people that are supposed to be their best friends. The ultimate test for anyone out there who wants to make a buddy games of their own would be to stick this film on repeat and see if it can last as long as before sleeping, puking, or walking out.
Boom. It's dropping the fact. You know what? In this movie, there's a scene or two of one buddy putting his balls on the other buddy's face and actually flapping them around on his face.
Oh, my
now,
God.
You and I are good friends, Paul, but if you ever did that to me, I'd leave. And if I did it to you, I'd take a photograph and we'd both leave.
And it would still be podcast over.
It would probably. Like, guess what happened the other day? Yeah, you can't put your balls on your friend's face and think that shit's funny or acceptable.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's okay to teabag someone in a game where you've shot them and
of
their
course,
corpse
it's
is on the ground.
It's required. If you don't do it, you're a bitch. So
yeah, it's a good choice. Obviously, I'm right there with you. 6 and 4. This is one of the absolute biggest pieces of shit of the year. No one give this man money again. No one, please. Enough.
Already. Balls.
All right. Football. My number 5 is one that I recommended to you during the course of the week, Wayne, and said you should watch this because it is a giant turd. It stars Melissa McCarthy. Yep. It's directed by her husband, Ben Falcone.
Uh-huh.
It's super intelligent.
Okay, I did watch it. Now, let me hear you, because I've got a, it's not on my list. All right? And there's a reason it's not on my list, not one that's going to make you happy. But I want to hear how you
feel like
about
I'm
it.
Taking crazy pills!
Up your butt. Your sounds all eat dick. So anyway, tell us about this movie, Paul. What is it about?
It is about Melissa McCarthy, who is literally, according to a computer, super intelligent computer program, the most average person in the world. Wrong. She's heavier than that.
You know Paul's mad when he makes bad jokes.
And decides to make her responsible for the fate of the entire human race because right. it has its tendrils in everything. It became self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
It can control every bit of gadgetry and machinery in the entire world, and therefore
it's
we
an
are
AI.
All fucked.
Exactly. And should we not, let's not forget to mention, Paul, the AI, which is threatening to take over the world, is James Corden. Playing James Corden.
Yeah,
it's actually got his voice because
they
explain it. It's
hard to that James Corden could be smugger than James Corden, but yet here we are.
Here's the thing, right? There's a bit of a problem here already because I fucking hate James
Corden. That's what I'm saying to you.
I fucking hate his show.
I don't have a visceral reaction to you, but
his monologue of comedy is... It's not smug. It's just his comedy is shit.
Well, I find him smugness with the way that he...
Anyway. I can get with that because I'm a cunt, but he's not funny.
Well, I can't argue with that. Either one of those points.
Yes, of course. I'm fine with that. But yeah, okay. Yeah, no.
So,
on, please.
What would you do if you only had 2 days? Oh, I'd make it good with...
Bobby Cannavale.
Bobby Cannavale.
He's the love interest. It's a rom-com.
It's basically a rom-com.
It's a sci-com rom-com.
Set up in a shit-ass kind of way with really poor direction. And most importantly, literally, Wayne, I kept counting the number of times I laughed.
Okay, good. How many?
Once.
All right, I'm going to be interested.
Here's the gag that made me laugh.
Bring it.
Car turns up. Playing the Knight Rider theme.
Yeah.
That was it.
I know.
And she didn't recognize it. So even in the context of the film, the joke kind of sort of fell flat.
I know. And look, there are few and far between. My laughs were two places, and they both had to do with the FBI agent or whoever guy played by her husband, who left husband, the director, and the other dude from Veep. They are sort of just discussing in a funny way the things that they're doing while they're out on stakeout.
Oh, I hated
like
that moment.
I actually laughed at that because they were stupid.
Unserious they were, but the world's going to end. They're like,
I know. And because I like, for some reason, I like the energy they have, but that was 2 times in the movie, people. All right. 2 times in the movie. This movie actually starts going, if you ask me, it starts trying to mix comedy and plot, and there's big stretches of plot, and
it's just not fucking
and
funny.
It's not funny. There are long stretches where you're not laughing.
Eventually, I think Bobby Cannavale, Cannavale comes in at the 45-minute mark. So there's no romance at that point.
It's a long movie
and
as well.
There's no comedy at all. Yep. This is an utter failure of a film.
It's tedious is the problem. It's comedy and it's tedious. Did you know that Bobby Cannavale has a huge cock?
Good. On him.
Apparently on Broadway Empire, there's a big cock shot. Anyway,
right.
Just thought I'd tell you that. So yeah, pure ass. Don't know what's going on in the film, and I don't care.
So you're not saying it's a good film. You're just saying it didn't quite crack your 10.
I think the fact that I laughed twice. No.
So two laughs is enough to get a comedy off your worst 10 of the year list. I would say this is a 100-minute film. It's got to make you laugh more than once every 50 fucking minutes.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's really shit. And it's probably one of the best of the year. I can't remember where I put it in my phone.
Best of the year, did you say?
Worst. So, yeah. So it's a piece of shit and it almost made my list. But because I laughed twice, I was less offended.
Fine. But that's my 6.
Nice one.
No, 5. 5, sorry. 5.
Okay, well, my number 5 is a Netflix film called The Last Thing He Wanted. Now, whoa. Yeah, check it out.
Oh, this is Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, supposedly Say Ben no Affleck.
Fucking hate Anne Hathaway.
I love Anne Hathaway. I actually love her. Like, you know, Devil Wears Prada. I love Anne Hathaway. A lot of people don't, though. Ben Affleck, Rosie Perez, Willem Dafoe. And you would think it would be an interesting movie. It's about this journalist for the Atlanta Post or something. And she stops her coverage of the 1984 U.S. presidential election to care for her dying father. This is back in the day. In the process, she inherits his position as an arms dealer for Central America and learns of the Iran-Contra affair. And that's when this is set, okay? So that sounds really interesting to me. This woman becomes a gun runner,
to be honest.
You know? And then Ben Affleck is in it for 3 seconds as a congressman. It's totally he phoned it in that day, all right? And
can I have, you called me up for saying $50,000, can I have $200,000 to do that? Yes.
Bam. Absolutely, absolutely. And absolutely everything went wrong with this film. The screenplay is shit. It got roasted by everyone. It's almost impressively bad. And it becomes like...
Hot damn!
Yeah, it's so long. A lot of voiceovering. I actually think Anne Hathaway is doing her best, but the writing's a bit annoying.
Your best.
Losers are always winning.
Anne Hathaway is always whining about her best.
Well, I'll tell you this, Paul. This movie has a titty bonus, but it's the worst one you've ever seen.
Is it Anne Hathaway?
Look, I'm
Couldn't
not going to tell
a
you.
Shit.
I'm not going to. I want. If you've ever seen it, folks, you know what I'm talking about. It is a.
Is it Ben Affleck?
No, oh, it's Ben Affleck. I'd be fine with us. Yeah. So would I. But yes, it's just the writing, the directing. I can't decide which one sucks more. This is the worst movie. Almost. The worst movie I've seen.
I was going to say, yeah. It's the fourth worst movie.
The fifth worst movie.
The fifth worst movie.
I'm all over the place with this, but yes, it's a piece of shit. Yeah, it was everything I didn't want.
Fair enough, sir. My 4 is Buddy Games.
Ah, well, my 4 is Hubie Halloween.
Ooh, yep.
So we're going to flip over to your Thrizzy.
Back to my... Oh, we haven't heard of any of my top 3. Have we heard any of yours?
Yeah, we have.
My number 3 is an indie darling, supposedly horror film, uh-oh, which, Wayne, it taps into the existential and mortal dread that we all felt,
sure,
during the coronavirus.
Okay. Oh,
the
yeah,
height of it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's tapping it. It's the critics have raved about this film.
What is it?
It's called She Dies Tomorrow.
All right.
Directed by Amy Simetz. Anyway, she is an indie actor. She's made this film. Good on her. She's made this film.
Sure.
Here is the concept of the film. Amy is ravaged by the notion that she's going to die tomorrow, which sends her down.
Because of COVID?
Dizzy, no. Just the same existential kind of dread.
It's what she just thinks that she's going to die tomorrow.
Suddenly realizes, based on something someone says to her, like, it's almost, the film implies this psychological, metaphorical, metaphysical, existential dread is passed to you and you're going to die tomorrow.
So that's the bad guy.
No. Imagine it like a disease.
It's like Candyman kind of.
So
yeah,
I
okay.
come to you today and I say, Wayne, I'm sorry, but I think I'm dying tomorrow. Now you catch it. Now
really?
You believe you're going to die tomorrow. That is the film.
That's stupid. It's like the power of suggestion is the bad guy.
Do you want to know how stupid this film is?
Bring it.
Right. Now prepare yourself. Massive spoilers for a film that came out this year. I can't shit on
no
this film
one cares.
Any harder unless I point this out.
Go
okay?
In. Bring it.
Or at least effectively can't shit on this film unless I point this out. No one dies unless they kill themselves. There's a couple of
well,
people.
You can't do that to Paul Prezula.
A couple of people who killed themselves. But the whole point is there's this fucking pandemic in a version of this thing. And because everyone who comes into contact with
her.
Not set during the pandemic.
But the idea being that you can catch something.
You're tacking.
And this, okay.
you're
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for here? Porting into the same fear that we've all felt this year.
Let me ask you, do you find it distasteful that they are talking about this now?
No, I'm okay with informing your film that you're making with current. And I would imagine when this came out, which was around about, I think, August or so. It was pretty fucking cheap and nasty.
Yeah.
Did they conceive of this and have it written in? I don't think so. I think the idea of this happened before coronavirus just happens to be a very convenient truth.
So is it the premise of the thing that's annoying you, or is it the shitness of the execution?
It's just so fucking boring.
Boring.
Nothing, literally nothing happens in this film other than people saying, oh, I think I'm going to die. Don't be ridiculous. You're in fine. You're in good health. You're a young person. Change of color, lighting. Maybe I'm going to die.
Really?
And start acting weird and whatever. Yeah. People saying, why are you acting weird? Because I think I'm going to die tomorrow. That's ridiculous. You're young and fit and robust.
Piece of shit.
Yep.
Piece of shit.
Horrible. So fucking boring. Okay. 85 minutes, and I wanted to punch myself in the face just to entertain myself through the course of this film.
I want to punch myself in the face with you telling me about it. That's how bad it is.
There you go.
That's how bad
enough.
It is.
Enough. We've heard enough. We can move on.
All right. My number three was The New Mutants, so we're just going to bounce right on to you. All right.
So our two, and you won't have my two. I hope to God you've got my one. Otherwise,
I really think back of my cock.
I'm not even sure what the back of my cock is. Which side is it?
It's side facing you. It's the upside. I think so.
I would have thought it's the below side.
Okay, so if you're facing her and it's pointing up because you got wood, then the underside is the front for her. So the back is the front part for you. Surely.
I see what you're saying.
You know what? If you're whipping from side to side as a facial, then the back is the side that was. It's her second. That's it. Right. It's like the back of your hand. It's like it's.
I'll show you the back of my hand.
Vertical, yeah, back of my neck. Boom. I think that's how it works.
Maybe that's what I should have said. You will feel the back of my hand, not the back of my cock.
Look, let's keep it with cock.
Sure. Whatever your preference is.
Please go on.
My number two is the. I can't say that. No, it's as close to the worst horror film of.
Fuck you and your horror films. Go on.
I'm shitting on them. Shouldn't you be happy?
Bring it. Let me hear it.
This is a sequel which. Literally shits all over the original film in its execution. This is called Brahms: The Boy 2.
Okay, what's this about?
In the original film, one of the chicks from Walking Dead, Lauren Cohen,
mm-hmm.
she becomes a nanny for a family, blah, blah, blah. There's a porcelain doll, which the family who leave her to look after the house and whatever else say, don't move it. Like, that's very special to us.
Okay, don't move the doll.
She believes in the course of the film. It's sentient. It's got some kind of evil in it. Mm-hmm. It's stalking her.
Sounds riveting so far, like many horror movies.
First film is pretty average, I'll be honest. It's like a 1.5-star film, 2-star film. Like, it's terrible. It's not good.
Sure.
At the end of that film, I'm going to spoil both of these.
Don't worry, man. No one saw this thing.
I want to give people the adequate. So skip forward 3 minutes if you're not at all interested, and then back 15 seconds at a time.
You all don't give a fuck, and I know it. All right, go on.
In the original film, it turns out that the son that the couple... who are elderly, died in a fire, is alive, walking in the walls of the house, manipulating the doll, freaking her the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So that's the end of that movie.
Number one.
Yep.
Number two, they come across the doll buried. They move into an adjacent house or nearby. Kid who's been traumatized by a break-in, doesn't speak, finds the doll, is communicating with the doll. He doesn't speak anyway. Point is, the mum, this one is Katie Holmes.
Oh, Katie Holmes.
Yep. Turns out the doll is actually a demon in this film.
And it's always been a demon, even in the first film?
Well, that's the point. It shits all over the original film. Literally just takes down his pants, drops trowel right on the first film.
Well, see,
effectively
now...
Effectively saying, that film doesn't matter.
Now, let me ask you this, because you would argue, does Evil Dead 2, for example?
No.
It completely doesn't even go on from the first one.
No. Evil Dead 2 is very different. Like, is it? Still deadites in the forest killing you.
Yeah, but they just rebooted it.
It's not saying now suddenly the threat wasn't what you thought it was. It's completely undermined. It's still the same evil. It's just those characters who in the first one we don't have the rights to continue with this, so we've just redone it as its own.
But everyone allowed it and it was cool. So I know one of my questions was is that
That would be fine.
Because the execution therein was
someone
good.
In the walls moving around, but that guy dies, obviously, in the first film. But if it was still someone manipulating a doll, that's the spirit of the first film. Pun intended. That's fine. But now, to make it a demonic evil...
So you're flipping the script and not in a way that you didn't work.
It. Yeah, the first film doesn't work anymore. Well, it works, but it's like...
Is that what's shitting you more? Is the actual movie itself?
No, it's not scary. It's really badly acted. I'm sorry. There's a reason you haven't seen Katie Holmes in many big films anymore. It's not just because she's Tom Cruise's ex. She's garbage.
She's got the best fashion sense. You should check her out.
Oh,
anyway,
good on her. Everybody's movie fucking sucks. This is 0.5-star. It's less than 10 out of 100. I was so angry watching this movie.
Why do you expect these shitty bags of ass to be any good?
I'll tell you next week when we talk about my top 10 10 films of all time.
If anyone would know, it would be you. Yeah. Okay, cool. My number two, everyone, is fucking Jiu-Jitsu. Now, this, everyone...
a dishonorable mention for me, but still, that's harsh.
Dude, it's crap, okay? Nicolas Cage, Tony Jaa, again, all right? And the idea here...
Oh, wait, it's the Jarness.
It's
jarring.
Yeah, it is jarring.
Hashtag jarring.
I hope he makes a piece Double of shit after this now. I know we can do it again. Every 6 years, everyone, this movie tells you that an ancient order of jujitsu fighters joins forces to battle a vicious race of alien invaders. And I don't give a fuck. I'm going to spoil this because no one cares. This movie posits that a fucking alien gave us jujitsu. It's fucking stupid and it's a Predator ripoff, okay? Now, there are some inventive, ambitious action scenes, which are one-shots that change point of view during, and it's fine, but it does look like it was shot on a fucking GoPro. It is very...
Absolutely does.
Yeah, it's really low budge, and it's got Nicolas Cage in it being Nicolas Cage. And that is still the best thing about the movie, and the movie's a piece of shit. Do you see what I mean here? It is really, really crap, and it's balls nasty special effects. There are weird stylistic choices where they transition between scenes with a comic book thing, and it's stupid. Every American soldier's a damn martial arts expert, and... I don't know. It's the Predator ripoffness is what annoys me. The alien is crap and it doesn't play by its own rules. So very extremely shit. Do not watch this film. It's called Jiu-Jitsu. You should karate chop the fuck out of it. It's done. All right. It's also weird to say that Jiu-Jitsu is this thing that an ancient race gave us. I'm like, it's Jiu-Jitsu. It's like judo.
I can get a ball with that. Like, and you're the martial artist in this podcast. I'm not. So I'm okay with that. But I will 100% agree with you. This is a bad film. It's a bad
so
film.
Bad.
In conception. It's definitely a bad film execution. There's a couple of saving grace shots in it that keep it out of my top worst 10 of the year. Sorry.
I agree. Those two things are there, but the rest of it offended me so badly that I started chuckling or something, and not in that funny way, in that I'm not a... yeah, I know. Exactly that.
There's Frank Grillo. Why the fuck is he here?
Why is he
here? As an example.
There are
characters in this film who appear... do nothing, stand around looking stupid, and get killed.
You know what it is? I reckon whoever's budgeting the film goes, okay, we've got...
need a name.
6 million. Yeah, we need a name, and we've got this much money in the budget.
We got $40,000. Frank Grillo says, I'll do 2.5 afternoons for
That's
you.
It. And Nicolas Cage, he's not even in the whole movie. There's another lead guy who's bugger all, right? And it's... That's it. They literally... We've got 7 days with Cage. We've got fucking, 4 days with Grillo. That's it. And the rest of it's production. So it's just a piece of shit. But it's slightly amusing. This is why number two. It's slightly amusing to me how shit it was.
Well, I would say it is almost one of those, it's so bad, it's good films.
Probably.
Which
is
why it sits on my sort of 15, 16th
totally
worst of the year.
I totally get it. But I liked talking about this one the most.
fair enough. It is undeniably terrible. Can't argue with it. All right, then. Let's wrap it up then with the recap of the films. My 10th worst film of 2020 is The New Mutants. My number 9 worst film of 2020, even though it may have come out January 1st, 2021, is Monster Hunter. 8, Midway. 7, Hubie. Halloween.
Hubie.
6, You Should Have Left. 5, Superintelligence. 4, Fuck It Games. 3, She Dies Tomorrow. I Wish She Died Yesterday. 2, Brahms, The Boy 2. And my number 1 is unquestionably, and I called it at the time, I was incensed. I was very, very... very, very dark on this film for a good fucking reason. Because when you take a 70s beloved TV show, not that I give a shit about the 70s TV show, and try and turn it into a horror, and your name is Jason Blum, I just want to punch you in the fucking face.
Oh, this one.
My number one, the worst film of 2020 for me, is Fantasy Island.
This was definitely a contender for me, but it's not my number one.
Well, I'm a little sad, Wayne.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure, A, it's a horror film, B, I got you to see it at the cinema, and C, it's this piece of shit. How does it not make your list?
Because it doesn't incense me so badly as I don't care about horror in the first place. That's what's happening here. It's definitely a piece of shit.
Sure Jason Blum and I have an abusive relationship.
He does the occasional one here and there, though,
doesn't
he?
Does the occasional great film. Like, it's not going to be on my top 10 of the year or anything, but a lot of people have The Invisible Man on their
fucking great movie.
Top 10
fucking
of
great
the
movie.
Good film.
Did he direct it? Or is he the producer?
No, he's a producer.
Producer. Okay, so it's about the director.
Lee Whannell directed that.
Yeah, see, that's why.
Yeah, but it's his studio. So my point is, for every Invisible Man, we get a Fantasy Island. For every Get Out, we get a fucking Gallows or The Gallows. Fucking hell, these films are so bad.
I know half of those.
Yeah, Truth or Dare, these kinds of things. This film, okay, so here's my literal review. Me after watching Midway, nothing could be worse in 2020 than this piece of shit, coronavirus accepted. Fantasy Island. Hold my
beer. I knew you'd make a hold my beer joke.
That was it. That's right. One of my most liked reviews of the year.
Mm. So everyone hates this one, I assume?
Jeff Wadlow, same guy directed Truth or Dare. No, yeah, this is on every critic's who's Hate bothered list. To what it's so
thinking that
fucking bad. Michael Pena. No,
Michael
he's
Pena.
Terrible.
No,
his arc
he's
is terrible,
but it's a shit. Like it's a shit character.
Bro, comedy's terrible. What's her name? Maggie Q's in it. Even she couldn't save it.
I know, and I thought she was so lovely. She's just awesome.
Imagine, so basically in this film, The Fantasy Island, it's bending your wishes to teach you a lesson slash kill you. Mm. That's the whole... And Michael Penn discovers this because it allows him to have his wife back who died at whatever fucking point.
I completely forgot that plot point because I didn't care about this film, but now I remember it. And you know the ending was weird too.
It honestly makes Wonder Woman 84 look genius by comparison.
Ill-conceived. I like that. I like the amount that it defends you because it like this is actually.
If I could flip your table now, I would.
But just ostensibly, is this that this type of movie is always shit to me? So it's just
well for you.
When I know it's good for you. When I know you had it, means it's really bad.
A well-executed horror film is amazing, and I was like, you know what, this could be a lot of fun. What a great idea! Let's take existing property.
I think it could have worked well
and turn it on its ear.
Totally,
but it has to be good. It can't just be that's good enough to get people in the cinema. Well, apparently that's all
you got.
I
your
care
money,
about.
Yeah. So
and you yours,
are.
I think
I did. Fuck you.
The worst film of the year, Fantasy Island. Wayne, give us your recap and your number one.
Alrighty, my number 10 was Doolittle. 9. Shit, sorry.
Shit, sorry. What a film.
Shit, sorry. Yes. 9 was Wonder Woman 1984.
AKA Shit, sorry.
AKA Shit, sorry. 8, Bad Boys for Life. Totally fine with that. 7, Bloodshot. 6, Buddy Games. 5, The Last Thing He Wanted. 4, Hubie Halloween. 3, The New Mutants. And 2 was Jiu-Jitsu. My number 1 is a movie... Now, there's a person around... Like we just talked about Nicolas Cage and how he just accepts any old piece of shit movie now because he's building another house or whatever. There's another actor who's done this and I've just realized he's doing it now. Bruce Willis.
Oh, thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Bruce Willis, my friend. Now, this movie is called Hard Kill. Okay? Now, you might find it a bit hard to put it at the front of the movie because it's not a very big movie, although it is a Bruce Willis movie.
Tiny straight to Netflix $3 million film.
Kind of. The two guys in it are Bruce Willis and Jesse. Do you remember Desperate Housewives had a hot young lawnmower that all the housewives wanted to fuck? His name was Jesse. What's your fucking name here? God damn it. Where is it?
Did you have a brain tumor for breakfast?
No.
Or did you just not prepare?
I did. I just thought I wrote it down. Sorry, cunt lips. Let me just have a quick look for it. Jesse Metcalf. And this film, check this out, everyone, okay? It's just weird. Bruce Willis is like this CEO who has some tech shit or whatever. And it's the loosest plot ever, all right? He's got like some tech shit, which is an AI that can take over the world. Bit of a theme these days, all right? Mm. And his daughter is developing it. She gets kidnapped by these terrorists. And then he asks Jesse Metcalf, dude, to fucking bring his 3 Navy buddies, because he's a wicked Navy SEAL dude, and protect me. But then he tricks them into going to this... location where they're basically set upon by waves and waves of bad guys. I know, it's really shit, right?
Wow.
Now you'd think to yourself, and none of those things make sense. It's just as nonsensical as I told you, right? But then it becomes the worst action you've ever seen, right? It's literally, let's say, 30 guys shooting at our 4 heroes, and instead of them figuring out things, first of all, they're hiding behind cardboard boxes, and they're hiding behind wooden pallets. I can hit you with a cum shot if you're behind a wooden pallet. It doesn't protect you at all, son, all right?
Fine, can and will.
And the rest of it is just, the bad guy has the most platitude-y bullshit script lines. It is so laughable, and his actual name is The Pardoner. That's the name of the bad guy. And the heroes, they actually refer to him as the partner. And I'm like, what the fuck? He's got a name. They know his name. It's stupid, everyone.
Oh, it is all Stuart.
It's like, yeah, well, what's Stuart going to do? Now, everyone sucks at acting, but the script is very bad, so I understand. Bruce Willis is fucking phoning it in. It's amazing how he's phoning it in. It's so...
Oh, sorry.
It seriously is... I swear to you, like, it's when you're watching it, you're getting more and more angry at how shitty and shittier it is. And I was just like, wow, I heard it was bad.
Welcome to my life.
I know. I heard it was bad. I didn't think it would be this bad. Everyone's shitting on this film, which is why it brought me to it. But I'm happy to join in. It's shit.
All right, there we are. That's our 10 worst of the year. We have steered you clear. We have said, please save yourselves from the pain that we have suffered.
Absolutely.
Do you agree or not agree? You can do. Let us know. I'm jumping ahead here in the normal scheme of things, but you can let us know. Via how, Wayne?
You can Google The Countdown Podcast and get all our socials, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
You can hit us up on Twitter at TheCountdownPC, like and follow the show on podbean.com. You can also leave comments there, and the Facebook community. That's the other place that you can really get involved with the show.
Hit me with a couple of yours.
Yeah, dishonorable mentions now, moving on to that. So, Jiu-Jitsu was one.
Good.
The Turning, another shit-ass horror film. Sounds another shit. Horrendous adaptation of Henry James's The Turn of the Screw. Yes, I'm looking at you, Bly Manor, The Haunting of Bly Manor. Same fucking story, this time in a movie form.
Okay.
Fucking awful. Fuck that piece of shit. Doesn't translate to screen. Save Yourselves is this really indie darling fucking piece of shit alien invasion film where it's meant to be these two hipsters trying to survive in the wild. And that just
all of your movies are horror movie shit.
No, this is a straight comedy. It's okay. not horror okay, at all. Enough. Literally, the aliens are balls of like fluff.
Okay.
And then suddenly they kill you. Scoob. That
you saw that?
Yeah.
Animated.
I think that was this year. Now in question. Yeah, it is. It was? Yeah. Terrible. As I said, just, and then the film that I first saw back in the cinema after cinemas opened here, Follow Me, a terrible game / whatever ripoff.
Horror.
Fucking piece of shit. Also horror.
Okay. I just had the very excellent Mr. Dundee. It's the worst thing you've ever seen.
Never seen it.
Midway Songbird. Didn't like it at all.
Yeah, you really hated that one.
Fantasy Island is on my, list.
Good.
And it turns out Super Intelligence was on my list. Yay! There you go. So
that's our worst of the year. What about yours? Let's wrap it up in a segment that ends every show that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about.
Pop 10.
Talk about.
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the Doomsday Podcast. I believe the way 2020 worked, the biggest grossing movie of the year was Sonic the Hedgehog. Let that sink in. Not quite true as we have now established, but still.
Close.
Very, very close. From Steve at the Everything I Learned from Movies podcast, initially said number 3, Birds of Prey. Pretty average. Number 2, New Mutants. Number 1, The Jesus Rolls, the sort of pseudo-weird sequel to The Big Lebowski.
Oh, what's his name? The dude, John
Turturro.
John Turturro did it. Yeah. I looked at that. Apparently
it's terrible. But then he went, oh, hang on. I forgot Doolittle came out this year. Number 2, because still better than The Jesus Rolls.
Wow.
Tim Cormack said, he said a whole bunch of films. Go 5 here. Borat and American Pickle. Cool. American Pickle could have been
on Seth Rogen, right?
Fucking awful. Shit. Terrible film. And Extraction. Well played, Tim.
Fuck off.
That's real. Guaranteed I'll be on Wayne's Top 10 next week.
You never know.
Then from Gidget Von LaRue of the Retro Cinema Podcast, and soon to be a new Gidget's Fab Flicks, I think, podcast coming soon. Ooh. The Wrong Missy. Did you watch that one?
Yeah, I didn't. It fucking sucked.
Oh, that would have been the other Happy Madison piece of shit that Dan was referring to.
Yeah.
Fair enough. From Stephen with the Super Retro Throwback Podcast, New Mutants, Hubie Halloween, and Capone.
I hear this a lot. Did you see it?
No, I didn't, thank God. Capone, I've heard way, way terrible things about.
Wow.
Anth on Twitter said, hard to knock it down to a top 5. It said Vivarium. I didn't mind Vivarium. It wasn't great.
Really? Okay.
Spencer Confidential, which was pretty shitty.
You saw that one?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I know the one. That's why I didn't fucking watch it.
The Night Clerk, Inheritance, and Last Thing He Wanted, There You Are,
Boom.
Wayne. Nerdivert said, top 3, Capone, The Last Days of American Crime. Won't be the last time we hear about that one. That was on Netflix. Did you watch that one?
No, and I've heard that one a lot too.
And the worst for Nerdivert of the year, Super Intelligence. Our good mate Sam from the Movie Using 20Qs podcast said he's quit on some truly awful films last year that would have made my list had I finished them, including Capone, The Last Days of American Crime, and about 100 horror films. There you are, Wayne. So just going off the ones I did finish, number 3, Ava. Garbage.
Oh, I didn't mind Ava.
Fucking terrible. Well played, Sam.
I didn't mind a bit of Ava.
Number 2, Midnight Sky, which we were going to do for a full review, but we have so far
skipped. I saw it. It wasn't good, but I don't think it's one of the worst, but yeah, okay.
Number 1, Hubie Halloween.
Yeah, fair enough. Totally.
Chris Webb, great description. I watched Ubi Halloween and immediately wanted to continuously punch myself in the dick until I died.
It's a dick puncher.
All right, over to the Mackenzie Lambert, the last one on Twitter. Birds of Prey, Bill and Ted Face the Music.
I almost put that on my list to piss you off. It's actually not. It's actually pretty shit. It's a shit movie. I'm on that. I mean, it's a shit movie.
You can't handle the truth.
I should have put that on my list. All right, go on.
And the Mortuary Collection, which was in my top 5 horror films of the year. Mac, I'm not sure what the hell's going on there.
It's a horror movie.
Joe DiCarlo over in the Facebook list community from the So Wizard podcast said Wonder Woman 84, The Craft Legacy.
What's that?
The sequel to The Craft came out this year.
Did it? Was it obviously shit, was it?
Well, according to Joey.
Wow.
And I've not seen a kind review, so let's just say yes.
Hmm.
She Dies Tomorrow was the next one there.
This is one of your people right here.
He's a good bloke, Joey. Good bloke. In fact, he's going to be the guest on the bonus episode coming soon for the month. Janine DeFontaine said, Hubie Halloween. My husband and I watched the whole thing. It was that bad. It was hard to look away. Robert Stewart, Antebellum.
Really? I quite like that one.
Bloodshit. And good. Last Days of American Crime, who also said, if you've not seen that film, it could not possibly otherwise be on your list. So
really?
If you'd seen it, it would have been on ours. And I tend to agree, well, just based on hundreds of people.
Is it a film or is it a...
It's like a 2.5-hour film on Netflix.
Fuck.
Kevin Lawler said, This is so easy because I really hate movies. But I hated three movies this year. The Wrong Missy was so irritating. The Call with Lin Shaye and Tobin Bell made me want to strangle someone. But the worst of the worst is 100% Coffee and Kareem. Why do I do this to myself?
I didn't have the balls to watch that one. I looked at it and went, oh my God. And because actually, is it Ed Helms?
Yes,
I think Ed Helms. So. Yeah, I really don't care for his work.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Erica San Pedro said, the more I think about it, the more I hate it. Wonder Woman 84.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn. Smiler Samani, friend to us and good friend to the show, said, Dr. Doolittle, exceptionally ghastly.
Mm.
Artemis Fowl, appallingly foul.
Wouldn't even afford.
And Wonder Woman 84, heartbreakingly, breakingly disappointing. Last couple then to wrap it up from the Facebook list community. David Power said, it comes down to Hubie Shitoween and Fantasy Shitland. But the one that made him the most angriest was Babysitter 2, which kind of shocks me because compared to those other two. Whew,
what the fuck is Babysitter?
Well, The Babysitter. Do you watch it?
Nope. Okay. Right.
Well-received horror film on two, three years ago.
Say no more.
Comedy, though, with Bella Thorne and your girlfriend.
Rebecca Ferguson?
No.
Damn it.
From Ready or Not.
Oh, whatever her name is. Yeah.
Samara Weaving.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Got there in the end. Blake Jarvis said, A Fall from Grace I haven't heard of. Fantasy Island, thank you, Blake. And Vivarium. Again, as I said, I didn't hate it, but I can understand why people didn't love it. And lastly, from the Pint of Comics podcast, John Amenta said, The Last Days of American Crime is the biggest piece of shit in years. Hubie Halloween, not even kind of fun. Please stop Netflix and Sandler. And Peninsula, I had high hopes for this. The more I think about it, the more I fucking disliked it. That was the sequel to Train to Busan.
Oh, not good,
I have to agree. If we had a top 10 disappointing films a year, that's my number one.
Piece of shit, eh?
Without a doubt.
Lightning striking.
There we are. That's it for the worst 10 of the year. We hope we've steered you clear. We hope we have saved you from some pain. If we haven't, if you've seen them already, we hope you are now empathizing / sympathizing with us. And we've
Or just saving time, you know. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you have already seen it, now we're just helping you out.
Yeah, it's good luck.
All right, Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 303? This one should be really obvious. You don't need to scroll through your screen.
I know, but No, I'm kidding. Yes, next week we're doing the best. The top 10 films of 2020.
The biggest show of the year.
Huge.
After the fact. But here we be. Can't wait to actually talk positively.
Yeah, because it's been a bit fucking droll and like just shitty and sort of like, you know, sorry, the mood is not quite as like a little one. This is shit. But next week, it's all about Jack and your dick and just punching out a wad for ones that you liked, although it will be a bit tough for 2020. But these things happen.
Yeah, I would just go so far as to say my top 10, I'll say this again next week, of this year, sorry, last year, is not going to be as strong as it has
circumstantial
been in previous years.
Absolutely.
All right. Nevertheless, it's still time to celebrate what 2020 has managed to, I don't know, shit out in a good way.
Sure, shit out. Just punch one out.
That's episode 303. Thank you for joining us today for the latest episode of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck off.
Bitches leave.
Yeah, okay, that's all right.
Including you, Wayne.
Okay, bitch.
We'll catch you next time.
Yeah.